Okay, Crash, let me know when you've pressed record. Crash, Crash, Crash!
That's
okay!
You.
This is made funnier since we're recording it in December. Hello, and welcome to Cogworld. This is a cipher system game where everyone's a god, except for those who aren't. There's a lot of asterisks there. But tonight, I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Eo, Jen, and Crash, who hasn't said word one yet. He's gone AFK, I guess. We'll talk to him later. My name is Crash. I'm the other brother Crash. That's an obscure reference.
You locked in twice.
I'm beside myself.
That's what I thought.
And I will be your GM for tonight. The people of the Cogworld live upon continent-sized gears rising up out of the world's oceans. But they don't think about that very much. They don't even call it the Cogworld. Visitors might, if there were any, but to the residents it's simply just the world, as it's always been. On the ring gear of Archizo, in the Windbreak region, several alleged incarnations of local deities and four kobolds who may or may not have acquired a bomber jacket are on a train heading to the rail city of Mordwin. In our last session, the party did battle with a gargantuan integrated, a self-created combination of person and mechanical parts, until Maffa managed to pull it into the cistern with some help from the boss and his employees. After which, we learned that the boss was a high-ranking member of the Church of Unity, sent to Chalk to recruit people after asking too many questions. The gods on the run managed to tip the balance between optimistic denial and supporting the cause of justice for the murdered gods, including the god of justice, in fact. Further exposition included the plot that other high-ranking priests are performing a ritual that collects the essences of deceased Windbreak gods, holding them until they can all be reincarnated into a single being and fulfilling their twisted view of the end goal of the Church of Unity. The party are now traveling with documentation stating that they're hired to move a shipment of goods and additional coded documentation explaining that they're bringing weapons and armor to Korf. Both of these combined provide cover stories, and which get shown depend on who's asking. Korf is the end goal, the town where this started and where things will end. But the gods have unfinished business back home that they need to manage first. This is why they're off to Mordwid, hometown of Jatika, and the Church of Darkness. It is late morning on the eighth day of summer, and even with Maffa's knowledge of the rail lines, it has taken you days to get here. Jatika, god of darkness, is in her seat of power. The city of Mordwid is a true city, fed by the Great Rail, various tributary lines, and more than one canal for boat traffic. The buildings here rise higher than they should, supported in part by the ones to either side. Thick clouds of steam from steam-powered engines dilute the sunlight that finds its way through, leaving the city in a sort of twilight, even now when the sun approaches its highest point. While every city is a melting pot, a disproportionate number of citizens here are ratkin, mousekin, owlkin, batkin, kobolds, and a smattering of other nocturnal species. Tam, god of trickery, knows that this is a place where things can easily be lost. Some because of the actions of others, some because the things themselves want to be lost. There is much they could do here to move things between the lost and the found, in one way or the other. Lucy, god of millet, knows that this is a place of abundance and need. Few things are grown here, and most live off the discarded scraps of those who are in power. Her gut tells her that this is not a good place to stay. Maffa, god of the crossroads, feels a strength from here as well. Thousands of life paths change here daily. Many come here for new chances and fresh starts, only to end up in the crematoriums, as the graveyards have long since filled up. If this was not Jatika's city, it could be hers. What happens next is up to you, provided you don't leave it up to the GM. In that case, he's just going to flood the sessions with Ankh-Morpork references.
Jatika is both concerned and excited and nervous and determined. And that's a lot of both. That's four boths.
That is four boths.
Mm-hmm. It's very foreboding here.
That's a significant number of adjectives.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Because we've got to make sure that I need to make sure that they don't try to just talk over me. Because sometimes they do, because I'm short.
I was wondering if that was a short joke.
Yes, that too.
Oddly enough, kobolds don't make a lot of those, even though we're the same height. There's probably kobolds here, but no one from my clan comes here because it's crowded.
Yeah.
I mean, we leave the farm in the summertime because it gets too crowded.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know, it's where I grew up. I mean, I grew up in the church part of it, but it's still where I grew up.
There is a loud whistle that blasts, and the windows of this train car that you're in vibrate a bit. You are coming in towards a station stop. There's multiple spots in this town, city rather, where you can stop, and this train is picking one of them. The hub here, Chitika would know, is large enough to be a city itself. Not many people live in the station area. It's all just rail lines and tributary rail lines and canal endpoints and footpaths and roads that are designed just for moving freight from one place to another, from one train to another, or from a train to a boat. However, people will come here for reasons beyond moving freight because the Church of Darkness is built under where the first station building was. That building's been replaced two or three times by now. But the church itself was dug into the bedrock.
Because it's darker there.
So if you want to stop at the Church of Darkness first, you're going to be fairly close. I imagine there's somewhere else that Chitika wants to go. Also, the question is, what do you do first? Do you deal with the cargo that you're moving? Do you deal with visiting Chitika's family? Or do you speed run it and go to the Church of Darkness?
We should deal with the cargo because we don't want to just leave the cargo here. Someone will wander off with the cargo.
Well, that doesn't happen all the time.
Most of it?
Mm-hmm.
Define most.
I can define most.
People who perhaps are big fans of the Church of Trickery might be the ones who like to accidentally misplace the cargo.
It's a big station, it's a big city, and if we leave the cargo here, someone will decide that it's in the way, and they will move it. And then someone else will go, where did this come from? And they will move it. And then someone else will go, where did this come from? And they will move it. And someone will go, does this have an owner? I guess that's mine now.
Well, there's a lost and found, and there's a misplaced crate section, and there's paperwork to file, but otherwise, you're kind of right.
Uh-huh.
You were technically correct.
It is the best kind of correct.
So how do you intend to take care of the freight?
Well, what were we supposed to do with it?
Eventually, it needs to get to Korf. You're taking it with you everywhere you go because it makes the paperwork more valid. That says, hey, we have a right to be here. And it throws various individuals off your scent because if you were the gods that the Church of Unity was looking for, you wouldn't have paperwork from the Church of Unity saying that you're working for the Church of Unity.
Right.
So eventually it needs to get to Korf.
I said very optimistic of them.
It does take some fast talking, but fortunately there's a couple individuals who are quite good at fast talking.
This is true.
So long as the freight is placed somewhere where you can then get it on the next train that you're taking or however you're getting out of here, like I said, there's also canals, then is taken care of. There will probably be some holding fees, but you have some discretionary funds as well that, oddly enough, Tam did not have to procure because the boss gave it to you for moving the freight. The amount of funds might not have gone down since you started. That might be Tam's fault.
Fault or...
I'm just saying that, well, I can define most. Given that I've misplaced several things since we got here.
Misplaced or found?
Well, someone else misplaced them.
Actually, Tam, I would like you to make an intellect roll for me in the name of good storytelling, and you may add your bonuses for sleight of hand and deception.
Yay. All right, does that count as specialized? Because that's two different things. What's the base difficulty?
Base difficulty is 3. All right. With an 11, it is possible that after meeting a customs agent at a stop previous to this one, once all the paperwork was properly sorted and filed, they owed you transfer fees. They weren't quite sure how that worked. You assured them this was perfectly normal, but it wasn't their money anyway, so they weren't too worried. This is why you don't pay your employees minimum wage, just saying. However, I'm actually going to count that role moving forward because it amuses me greatly. And because with those bonuses, that 11 went way beyond what you needed. And say that you have filed paperwork here, then gaining more money somehow. And part of this is because of Mafa's character, who I understand is silently there because we haven't given Ellie a chance to speak edgewise. So, Ellie, how does Mafa assist with making sure the freight gets placed somewhere where you know it's going to be there when you come back?
Mafa would go looking for a cargo master.
Okay. They are easy to find. They usually have fancy hats.
Yes. And would ask that that our cargo be placed in not a long-term storage house, but I like the two different this TBHs.
Yes. Because Eero, the cargo master, runs the TTRPG about trains. Okay, show of hands. Which of us would play that game?
Yeah.
My hands up. You can't see my hands up, but my hands up. But yeah. Mm. Yes, you.
Short-term storage near the train that we're going to be taking out of town, but not on the train itself because we don't want it to leave without us.
Okay, and they are far too important a person to handle the paperwork themselves, so they point you towards an intern, and it may or may not have been the intern's first day. So the role that EO made for Tam does carry over. The cargo master would have caught on, but they're a busy, very busy person, so they weren't supervising.
Mafa, I think I like bureaucracy.
Fun, isn't it?
You just write things down and suddenly they're much more official.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a flag.
Yeah, kind of.
I was listening to a Star Trek, I gotta be careful about that, podcast today, where a bunch of Klingons teleported over onto the Federation ship. And this ship is now ours. Well, I don't see a flag. Regardless. Okay, so freight is handled. Now,
no flag, no ship.
Hmm?
No flag, no ship. That's how it works, according to the rules that I just made up.
Hello, Hendrix.
The captain also had a 44 Magnum, so they made some decisions.
I think we were headed toward the Temple of Darkness. Was that right?
Chitika's dithering on whether Chitika should ask around for her family so that we have a bolt hole if everything goes wrong with darkness, like it's been infiltrated with lionkin or something.
I don't think the problem's the lionkin, but...
No, but if it's been infiltrated by lionkin, then I'm kind of worried that they would be the wrong lionkin.
You see, batkin.
If it's been infiltrated by lionkin, I'm going to be very impressed.
There's a batkin, a batkin, an owlkin, a ratkin, a batkin, a lionkin standing two heads taller than the rest of them, wearing a Batman cowl. Another ratkin.
I'm just saying, if someone's infiltrated, they probably look a bit more like the rest of them. Anyway, that's not important. I mean, that's not infiltrated, but infiltrated like running things or in a position of power because, I don't know, they sat on someone. Is that how power transfers in the Church of Darkness work?
If that's the case, then these three have taken all my power several times.
Well, if they're a lionkin and they sit on a batkin, then the batkin is squished. And then you have little bat wings going flutter, flutter, flutter.
To be fair, if it was a fruit bat, they're quite large.
Well, true. But not as large as a lion.
Lucy, This place is dark. There's light enough to see, but it's not broad daylight. There's too much steam everywhere. The buildings on every side of you go up 50 feet or more. They seem to lean in on themselves from your perspective. Mm-hmm. It is noisy. It is crowded. What do you do?
I think Lucy is going to find a place she can be away from all that sound.
Okay. Someone else in the party, make a roll to see if you notice Lucy's distress.
What's the difficulty?
Jen, how difficult is Lucy?
How difficult is Lucy?
Think of the pet that you have named this character after. How difficult is Lucy? On a scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale of 1 to 10. She's easily spooked by loud noises. Stuff like that.
So, 4 or 5?
Let's see. It says it's a 12. Somebody rolled it. It wasn't me.
Well, that was Mafa making a roll.
Oh, okay. Then that's not right for me. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just roll something, I guess.
Roll a d6.
A d6?
Yeah. Okay. Because if I have you roll a higher thing, you might make an impossible roll.
Oh, okay. No.
Difficulty 6.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a 12 does not normally be difficulty 6, but skill noticing and searching, you are trained in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mafa is. So that would mean that you're beating difficulty 5, but this was difficulty 6.
If I'd known it was going to be difficulty 6, I might have put a level of effort into it.
You know what? Because you made that roll before we had the difficulty, I will allow you to re-roll and make your decisions. Well, with a 16, you didn't need any of that. Okay, so, Mafa, you notice that Lucy looks like she's ready to bolt, and possibly in a direction that most people can't follow.
Lucy, you doing okay?
Maybe. Too much noise. Too much noise.
Mm.
Right as you say that, another train whistle blasts.
Oh, wow. She's trying not to fly away, you know?
I'm going to look for earmuffs.
Okay, give me a roll to search. This is going to be difficulty... I'll say this is difficulty 6 as well.
Okay.
So well, this is for Tam, because Tam is looking for earmuffs.
Okay, got it.
I want to re-roll that. I have 4 luck points.
Okay.
Much better.
All right, with a 14 and what you've applied to it, you succeed.
Unattended ear protection.
You do actually find a pegboard where station workers have ear protection, where when they're done with their shift, they hang it up there, and each of them has a name written on it in some type of grease pen or something. And suddenly there's one less pair there. It might have had a name on it that just said like Luke or something, but it's not that hard for you to rub your fingers over it a little bit, and it looks more like Lucy. And suddenly Lucy has, I'm trying to find a way to describe this that isn't like Lucy is hanging out in a record shop with some headphones on, listening to some smooth jazz or something.
Yeah, something like that. It'll block out the noises so she doesn't get scared.
What? Yeah, this works really well. All of your roles where you need to listen for something are going to be hindered with these on.
Of course.
Which is a benefit right here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What? Yeah, I already did that joke. It's still funny to me, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's what we're going to do. Lucy, you have provided a GM intrusion.
Okay.
So for your service, I'm going to give you 1 XP and Tam and Mafa, but Mafa noticed it and Tam solved it. So Mafa and Tam both get one also.
Cool.
So I will add the one XP to Lucy's character sheet for you. There we go.
Okay.
All right. So freight is handled. GM intrusion is handled. Have we stalled long enough for Chatika to decide if you're going to visit family first?
Chatika wants her family to know she's okay.
Okay.
And also to find out what's been going on since we've been gone.
Okay. Well,
Chatika also is going to make a little roll for an ability. Can Chatika use gather intelligence not so much as to ask anybody about things, but to basically eavesdrop as we make our way through to the interesting side of town where her family hangs out?
Okay. Yeah, you can definitely do that. So give me an intelligence roll for that.
No, I can't do that, apparently.
That beats difficulty one. So you're still going to get some information. I just won't be giving you the access codes to the thermal detonator factory. That would help with your attack on Korf, if you decided that Korf shouldn't exist again.
No, there's civilians in Korf.
Also, I'd have to make thermal detonators canon in this world, and I'm not sure I'm ready to do that. They're apparently way more powerful than a hand grenade. I only learned that recently in the past year or so. They do what now? What do you mean the building's gone?
You heard me. Or maybe you didn't, because you were deafened by the explosion.
Oh, so they used it on the first floor, and the other floors depended on the first floor being the first floor.
The first floor
was the Baron's floor.
Yes.
Wait, was this first floor like in Europe where it's not the ground level, or was this first floor like in the U.S. where it's the ground? You're saying it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They're all one floor now, you say. Well, then that's the
They've
first floor.
They've been one with
We're
the
good.
Floors.
The building is now a pile.
The building has become one with the floors.
How dare you? Take your luck point. I am one with the floor. The floor is with me. I'm one with the floor. The floor is with me.
I confess, every time I hear you say, I think of a particular joke from Futurama.
Sorry.
Oh, how is Dr. Mobutu doing? To shreds, you say. Well, how is his wife holding up? To shreds, you say.
I remember that one. Okay, so you head off in the direction that you remember your family living in. Your family have...
I keep an ear out.
Yes. You remember growing up that your family have a sprawling estate. For a baby ratkin, it certainly resembled a sprawling estate. You know now that what it was a series of rooms, some of them in neighboring apartment complexes, and not apartments, that were re-engineered to borrow from the floor plans, with full intention of giving it back when your family was done with them.
Which is about never.
It's been many generations. They're not done with it yet. Also, it's been many generations. The current landlords haven't caught on to the fact that when they add up all of the square feet, it doesn't equal the square feet of the building.
That is their problem, and they should take better math lessons.
Or they shouldn't, because they discover there's a problem.
If they didn't want this, they wouldn't have had geometry problem lessons that they didn't attend.
Well, to steal from a joke that Ellie put in the chat, if they didn't want this, they would have made an apartment simple instead of an apartment complex. And also, Mafa's looking for people that nobody else can see. So, Mafa, I'm going to ask you to make a roll for noticing things, because what you have to notice is that other people aren't noticing somebody. And that's a bit more difficult. So that's going to be difficulty 5, I'm going to say. But let's see. All right. You definitely notice people. There's a lot of people.
I would like to spend my luck points to reroll that.
Okay.
Oops.
I like the luck point mechanic. By the way, there's also a thing called doom points.
Doom points?
They're like luck points, but for GMs.
I think you have just reinvented destiny points from...
I'm not saying it's a new concept, but it's something that the guy from Sly Flourish does, where he uses doom points, where instead of legendary resistances, its doom points, and they can be used like a legendary resistance, but they can also be used for other things to balance the fights out a bit. Regardless, which I'm trying to say instead of anyway, seeing how I like the mouth sound of it. All right, so we'll resolve what Mafa encounters second, but we got to deal with Chitika's role. Chitika listens into conversations of the various people that you pass by on these busy, crowded streets that do not at all feel like the sky is too there and you will fall into it. You are home. This is your domain and you feel better for it.
There are so many good places to hide.
There are. You could probably stay perfectly still right here, and the press of the crowds around you would keep you perfectly hidden without you having to do anything.
It's so nice.
What you are hearing with the role that you made is that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Most of your trips out of the temple have been very supervised, except for the ones that weren't.
Uh-huh.
And the various conversations you're overhearing are the same joys and laments and small talk and bantering and bartering that you always hear. And it is, in fact, very comforting to you to have this sense of normalcy. And with this sense of normalcy, I will say you gain a luck point.
Okay. Chitika thanks the GM.
Mafa.
It is interesting about it. Go.
Mafa, you keep an eye out for people who don't appear to be noticed. And at first, you feel it's difficult because there's just so many people here. And a lot of them seem doing their best to be trying to mind their own business. So they're purposefully not noticing anyone because those other people aren't their business. The ones you got to watch for are the people who are noticing people, because those are the ones who are going to be trying to pick someone's pocket. Oh, hi, Tam. Also, Kobold B, apparently.
They're learning.
But, yeah, they mostly try to pick members of the party's pockets. They have stolen Kobold Un from inside Lucy's fluffed up feathers on at least three occasions. Just reached in, grabbed their sibling, yoinked them out, and walked away, holding them up over their head like it was a prize.
An important thing, child development.
They didn't go very far. They don't have the upper body strength to do that for very long, but they did do it.
And then their sibling wiggles down and goes back.
Yes, because it's feathers, warm in there. It's warm in there, and kobolds are cold-blooded. And then contented laser beam sounds happen again. But then you realize, Mafa, that the crowded streets are not a detriment. They're an asset. The dead are all around. The people who are alive are walking through them. There's one right over there who is hunched over a stall trying to find the apple that has the fewest bruises on it to purchase. But people are walking through them, and the shopkeep doesn't appear to be noticing them. They are instead talking to someone else entirely. There's a beggar on the street corner with a can that they're shaking, that another beggar came over and sat down, not right on top of them, but close enough that their shoulders are clipping. There's a stall where someone is selling genuine timepieces, not just a sundial on a wrist strap. That's actually what the byline is underneath the sign. Where there is someone else at the same stall who is hawking something else entirely that is not on display. The city is full.
The player will remember this.
Chitika, you have reached the midway point of an alley that is slightly darker than the street, where there are some old boards that have been nailed up against the wall, but have conveniently been nailed to a hinge.
Well, Chitika's polite and will knock. Just in case someone's around.
There is a timid answering knock where you know that you have to reply with a certain pattern.
Does Chitika remember the pattern?
I'm not going to require a roll for that. This is your family.
Chitika will do the pattern. It's probably the pattern that they tap on her window or wall or whatever when they're visiting Sub Rosa.
It is not shaving a haircut, but that is the only pattern that is sticking in my head right now. But I will say canonically, it is not that. It is not that. Uh-huh. Roger Rabbit does not burst out of a wall yelling two bits. After being grabbed by the doctor from Back to the Future.
Only evil.
Only evil. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's the sound of some latches being released. And then the bottom pushes out a little bit. The hinges are at the top edge. And there is a little wet nose that sticks out and sniffs the air.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
It's me. It's I need to talk to my mom. It's Chitika. I need to talk to Chitaran.
Oh. Come in.
Can my big friends come in?
They're with you.
Yes.
Okay. So the door is unlatched. You can open it up yourselves. From the size of this little wet nose that stuck out, they are probably too small to open it further than they need to get in and out.
Oh, it's a little one.
It's a little one.
Chitika will open.
Okay. As you open it, a little furry body is scurrying off into the darkness, and you are being preceded by the sound of someone yelling, Auntie Chitika's here! Auntie Chitika's here!
Oh, no.
I'm an auntie!
They better not touch Chitika.
I might have to edit that silence back in where I would pause for a minute. What do you...
I've got it.
Take your luck point. You just spent some. You can have some back now.
Yes.
All right. So from here, you know the way because you were born here and you came back to visit frequently. Possibly.
Not that the people at the church knew.
They don't know everything. And also, God of Darkness, you scurried around a lot when they couldn't see you.
Uh-huh.
Just saying.
And what they couldn't see, they couldn't complain that I was running off to do.
Okay. Oh. As you all enter, there is there is always the sound of scurrying. You have never known this place to be one of silence. Darkness, sure. Silence, never. There are children here. And one knows that if there are children present and it is silent, maybe you should be hiding.
Uh-huh.
But an older ratkin, who is not a centaur, approaches out of the gloom and... Someone has made art of this particular individual and shared it before, if I remember correctly. You shared it with me again. Chitaran, mother of Chitika, is, let me find the art so I can reference this properly, wearing a green dress and what looks to be a green nightcap, which is very funny because, like, she doesn't need to wear it to keep her hair in place. She's covered in fur. And I will say that she is, in fact, holding two little ratkin babies who are not much larger than actual rats. But she steps out of the gloom and says, well, as I live and breathe, Chitika.
Glomp. Careful with the babies, but glomp.
And you are fairly certain the babies are not Chitarans. These are not siblings of you. They are likely more nieces and nephews. You have a lot of older siblings.
I mean, ratkin, you know?
Yes.
Older siblings, younger siblings, adopted siblings.
One or two adopted siblings that are older than the people who did the adopting. We don't talk about that. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. These things, they happen.
So did you have a good time at the conclave?
No! It was the worst because there's a rogue element who want to kill all the gods and then force them all to incarnate in the same thing, maybe. And I don't know if that will make one super god, or if that would make an explosion, and it's bad anyway because they want to kill me.
You can almost hear the sound of their eyes as they go blink, blink, after all of that exposition.
Uh-huh.
That is...
I do not approve.
I don't approve either, with the parts of that I understood.
They set everything on fire.
I understand that.
I had to take off my pretty dress and claim that I was an attendant to myself and that people had killed me and used that to make people run around and make a panic so we could run around.
Well.
And get away. And then we got away. and then more people kidnapped me. They put me in a sack, and they called me the god of ducks.
The god of what?
I was wearing a dress that we found that it had a little duck on it. So someone thought I was the god of ducks, and I am not the god of duckness.
You don't even have wings.
I know.
She looks over at Lucy and says, no offense.
Lucy just nods.
There may or may not be several baby kobold noses sticking out of Lucy's feathers when Lucy nods.
Uh-huh. And these are all my friends. And this is Maffa. And this is Tam. And this is Lucy. And this is Light. It's Lighter, right?
Lighter.
And this is Lighter. And this is Un and B and C.
Oh, little babies. Oh, hello.
They're very hungry. Be careful.
Right now, they're not so much bitey as they are contentedly snuggled in to Cockatiel Fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you remembered your good sense that I gave you when I raised you, as much as I could raise you.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know much about this.
I know, but I wanted to make sure that you knew I was okay because I was afraid that they might have told you or that you... I was afraid that the people might have found out I was missing and worry.
Well, I knew you wouldn't be back right away. It's so far away from me. But, well, when did this happen?
Chitika will count on her fingers. She will count on her finger toes of the middle set of limbs.
It was 8 days ago.
Eight days.
Well.
Only 8 days. It feels like a lot longer.
And check off that mark on the bingo card where we mention real time being passing. Well, the church would probably know by now. You're going to have to talk to them.
That's where I'm going next. But if anything's gone wrong and somehow they're in on it or something stupid or they've been... I don't know. If something's gone wrong, then we might have to come back. And I want you to meet my friends so that if my friends came back, you'd know that they were my friends.
Well, I'm very glad to meet all of you. We should probably talk to Jatam about this.
Yeah.
She's been around long enough. She might know what to do. Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And you are led behind a curtain, then up a ladder, then through a spot that looks like a hole in some floorboards, then up another ladder, then around a corner. Then at one point, you're sliding down a drain pipe.
Whee!
And Whee! Tam, give me a deception roll, family. Difficulty 3.
I have the best family. What roll does Tam need to give?
Deception.
Deception.
Difficulty 3. This isn't to deceive. This is to... Ah, yeah, you make it. You are fairly certain that there is a much faster way in and out of here, but by habit, no one is taken that way.
This is why Tam thinks Chitika has the best family.
If this proverbial ship was sinking, there would be not a single ratkin inside it within 5 seconds. If it was actually sinking, they would all be like, good, everyone else will leave, it's ours now. They'd knock down a few walls and have more room for activities.
Yep.
Right. But eventually you are taken to what is apparently the nursery. It is full of babies. You have to shuffle to make sure that you are only moving babies out of the way as opposed to stepping on them. They are not just swaddled and laying there. These are actively moving about, playing, laughing, tickling each other, chewing on things. Imagine baby rats. Imagine a room full of baby rats.
Chitika is picking them up and hugging them and setting them to one side.
That is a nat 20. You do additional damage to the rats, Maffa.
No. Oh, good.
That was a roll. My second monitor is too far away from my eyes for me to see what we're doing here. Give me a second. Here.
Hedge magic.
Oh, you are hedge magicking them out of the way.
Yes.
Maffa walks in and holds her arms out while holding a staff, and the red sea of baby ratkin parts, and everyone's able to walk through the path without their feet getting wet.
let my people go past.
Once you go past, the ratkin then flow back in and drown a bunch of Egyptians. They had it coming.
Well,
With a 20, I'm trying to make it look like nothing is happening.
They're just moving out of your way.
It just happens that the ratkin are getting little nudges to direct them out of our path.
There you go. Okay, you definitely
still
do this
picking
thing.
Up babies.
Well, I imagine that you're leading the way.
Uh-huh.
But everyone else is having an easier time of it.
You pick up the baby, you cuddle the baby, you say, oh, you're so cute. You set the baby down with their friends out of the way, and yeah.
And I was in a different channel to reference the character art for these characters. So I missed the chat that started with, but not a real green dress, that's cruel. Mafa is crossroad, she makes a path. Take your luck point. Take your luck point and enjoy it, as I have.
I am so annoyed that the I said a high-pitched wee like 3 times, and it did not get picked up by the recording. Curse it.
Okay. I panicked when I saw that the conversation had continued when I was outside of the channel, because I'm like, wait, this is where people tell me, specifically by people, I mean Ellie. Ellie tells me that she's doing a thing because she doesn't want to interrupt someone else talking, and then I miss it, and 50 minutes later, then I feel bad.
Oops.
I'm working on that, but still. I have medicated ADHD. Yes. Well, I haven't found one that works and that I can remember to take.
I mean, isn't that how it always works? That no one with ADHD... This is how you know that it's ADHD and not anything else, is because you forget to take it? Isn't that like diagnostic practically?
Almost. And there's some where you have to remember to take them or bad things happen.
Yes.
And the ones where you can miss a day and it's not too big a deal, I've been on those and they gave me the side effects.
Oh.
When we doubled the dose. Anyway, welcome to ADHD chat. We're going to table that discussion and then forget to come back to it. Because we'll be distracted by shiny things. And baby ratkin, which are adorable. Uh-huh. Now, in the
Speaking of taking medication and tabling discussions, we've been playing for about an hour.
All right.
That's reasonable.
We're going to pause here. And when we come back, we will have a conversation with the matriarch, who happens to be in a corner of this room holding one of the larger babies and beaming at you.
Babies!
And that's what I said. Punchline.
You always say punchline, Rob.
And for the record, of course we're here. All us old people know each other. You know how that works.
Excuse me, I think it's time for us to be on stage right now.
Don't look at me, I just came for the craft services.
They're rolling, dear. Quiet on the set.
Well, you stop moving the table 3 feet to the left. I could see it now. Every time someone who talks over top of the onstage cast goes to craft services, they go to the table and the table just slides over because of Ran.
We're back. Chichika is back.
And then the craft services table just goes down a foot because Lord Stabby goes by. Okay, so you have entered a room full of babies. You're walking across it without any difficulty whatsoever. Okay, Chichika has some difficulty, in which Chichika has to put down adorable baby ratkin in order to move forward, because she has to pick up the next adorable baby ratkin to move them out of the way. Huh? One could argue that this process could be expedited by allowing Mafa to do her thing that she already rolled a nat 20 for, but this would mean that Chichika is not picking up adorable ratkin, and it's the principle of the thing.
If you put the baby ratkins to the side, Chichika will sidle to the side as well as she walks.
You make a tributary path.
Uh-huh.
Chichika takes the long way around.
Along the banks. Along the banks.
Just around the river bend.
Yeah, something like that.
Everyone else makes their own way, whether following in the wake of Mafa or the wake of Jatika, or forging their own path towards the matriarch, who is in my notes that I just minimized. There we go. Chitam. Huh? Chitam.
That's not going to be confusing at all. There has to be a ch in front of it.
Yep. In my notes, Chitarin is the mom. Chidevidi, I pronounced that wrong from my own notes, is the father. Huh? There's Chidaril and the other brother, Chidaril. They are not from the same litter. It is possible, no one has admitted this, that the mom forgot she already had a Chidaril in the family.
No. You don't understand, Crash. They're completely different names. One is Chidaril and the other is Chidaril.
This is Zathras all over again.
Hmm? This witch?
Zathras from Babylon 5.
Oh.
It's all identical characters. They were all named Zathras, but there was something in how they were said that the Zathrases, if that's the correct plural for Zathras, understood.
Zathrafim.
And they could pick up on it, but no one else could.
It's how you hold your whiskers.
It's not going to help. The rest of them can't smell.
Yeah, it's about like that.
Lighter leans back and whispers, stage whispers, I can't smell either, but that's besides the point.
You are not a gnoll.
No, there are no gnolls here.
That was... No gnolls.
No one knows gnolls here.
Are you saying that... Never mind, I'm not going to start singing Nobody Knolls, the trouble I've been.
Oh, no.
No, the troubles here are mostly from Baby Ratkin.
Uh-huh.
They are the cause of and solution to all of your problems.
Uh-huh.
And Chitam is there, who is beaming because it's been a while since she's seen you, and she's always happy to see you, just as she's happy to see everyone in her family. She gave up being the leader of the family long before Jatika was born. She still holds the rank of matriarch because she's the oldest. But Chitarin does all the hard work of making decisions for the family. Chitam hangs out in the nursery all day. Chitam is okay.
She's like a little Ratkin Yoda who doesn't have to run the council.
You're telling me. Whoever Yoda is, seems like an interesting person.
Uh-huh. I mean, small, pointy ears, green, but you can't have everything.
And
matriarch! Glomp.
She's mostly silent as you approach because she understands there is a process to this, and it takes some time.
There's a process of hugging the little babies and making your way, and then when you're close enough, you can go matriarch, and you can go glomp. Group hug.
And this does happen. Mm-hmm. It is a group hug because neither of you finished putting down a baby.
Exactly.
The babies don't always appreciate the hugs, and when it's a group hug, they spend most of their time trying to frantically get out of the hug. But that's part of the charm.
That's all right. They can scrabble over Chitika's shoulder and down onto her back and you know, from there to the floor or not.
Your back is used for a high dive?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Well,
into the baby rat
kid wave.
She's
got two backs, after all. She's got two backs.
Well, yeah, there's the low dive and there's the high dive.
Yeah. You got the shoulder one, and then you fall down from the shoulder onto her lower back, and then, you know.
There were two kobold, not kobold babies. There were three kobold babies. There were two ratkin babies in question. One of them took the low road, one of them took the high road, and one of them got into the ratkin rave before the other one. If you listen carefully, you can hear the oomts, 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 oomts. But it's a really high-pitched thing that mostly ratkin can hear. Like rat giggles. Humans can't hear rat giggles, but they do giggle when you tickle them.
Mm-hmm. That's adorable.
It is. That's a recent discovery in our lifetimes.
Science is good.
Okay.
So, what can I do for you?
Mostly I wanted to make sure everyone knew my friends in case things went bad.
All right.
Because Jadika will give the same explanation that there's a faction of the Unity Church that wants to make all the gods into one god, one body, and that this will either make a super baby or it will make a big explosion.
Right. So let me guess. You're Tam. You're Mafa. You're Lighter. You're Lucy. And I think those are the three babies that are sticking out of Lucy's, under Lucy's wings.
Oh, she's got all of them.
And Lucy's just now, like, preening her feathers over the little kids that crawled into her feathers and just kind of, you know, it's fine.
Chichika, you are very much aware that this nursery is directly over top of the entrance.
Someone heard things. Excellent.
But you don't have to tell them that.
Nope.
Tam, with your high roll earlier, you are also aware. But you also don't have to tell them.
So, this sounds like a very important thing that needs to be addressed.
Uh-huh.
So let's
go. And it's kind of not impossible that we might want to get to the Church of Darkness in such a way that if there are people waiting to put me in a sack again, that they don't see me there.
If they put you in a sack, I'm bopping heads.
They're pretty tall. You might want to bop their kneecaps so
that
they fall down
so
you can bop
for.
Their head.
It's not just for walking.
Right.
The big stick's made for bopping heads. The pouch is made for carrying medicine. That's how it works.
Uh-huh. Chichika's matriarch is the best.
There's another ratkin that's wearing a dirty bathrobe that's sort of just slinking off into the shadows.
I caught that reference.
I mean...
Yep.
That's why I said, oh no.
I mean, Ia once yelled, "You're not subtle." Just pointing this out. And it was a character talking to an NPC, but I felt personally seen.
Okay, let's head out. You're all ready, right? Remember, first rule of travel, go before you go.
It's okay, we did.
Okay.
I think.
Of course, when you're my age, you go before you go, and then you go three times before you get there.
It depends on how many babies you're with, and how much you've been having to, you know, drink the hot chocolate.
Oh, well, we're not taking any babies with us, except for those three.
Motions over towards Lucy.
Lucy nods her head, fluffs up her feathers some more, waits for the kids to sleep in there.
They may actually be asleep. The happy kobold baby sounds, which sounds like blaster fire. Which any listeners who don't know what we're talking about, look for video of baby alligators.
Oh, okay.
Not adolescent alligators. They stop making the sound. The babies, the hatchlings.
Mm-hmm.
They sound like blaster rifles. But those are happening at a rhythm where it's every time they're breathing out. It's the equivalent of a baby kobold snoring.
Oh.
Yes. Roll for heart
my
melting.
Chest. Yes. Roll for the cute.
Yes.
I had to do that yesterday. We had a talent show. And it was my job to watch the kindergartners who were watching the talent show. Now, this in itself is chaos because it's a special event that they're not used to. The schedule is different. I brought a camera for each of the kindergartners in my charge.
Nice.
All of them survived. And I think I took more photos of kindergartners taking pictures than I did of the people on stage.
Wow.
I got some good ones where they were so intent and it was adorable. I love my job. I love my job. I talk about retiring, but I do love my job while I have it. Mm-hmm. Back to this.
Mm-hmm.
Chitam pulls out a piece of candy, then unwraps it. There's a moment where she looks at it and thinks and then unwraps it and then tosses it across the room. And there is a wave.
I considered saying that I did something similar earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt while traversing the babies.
We can definitely say that that's how you got across. This is fine. But you're pretty sure when you see this wave, you're pretty sure that you see it crest as well. It is a full-on tsunami of baby ratkin. And as they vacate the area, there's a trapdoor that you could not see it before, and you would not have been able to open it had you noticed it. But Chitam kicks the door open and drops down into the welcome room.
Chichika follows. All right, let's go.
Okay. There were some boards that were up against a wall in the, we're going to call it a mud room, It's we'll pretend it's a mudroom. It's because it's got mud in it. That's why we're going to call it the mudroom. But when you saw the boards, you're like, okay, so there's extra boards that are lined up against the wall there. Now that you see this trap door, you are aware that those boards were in fact a slide. And when the wave of baby ratkin equalizes and they are once again evenly distributed with some variations for chaos theory across the floor, they push the trapdoor closed behind you. This is not the first time Chatham has done this, obviously.
Right, let's go.
Chatham goes out the door and immediately turns in the wrong direction.
Glomp. Is this the right direction?
Where are we going again?
Temple of Darkness by paths that aren't likely to be seen.
Oh, well, then this is a perfect direction.
And she goes in a different direction than she was going before.
You know what? Chitika's just going to follow this because, hey.
Chitika, you do have the best family. Thank you.
I like them a lot. I will not require a roll from Tam for Tam to be very much aware that this is who Chatham is. Possibly Chatham is Tam grown up.
An absolute goose.
You can't go anywhere in a direction that people are expecting you to go. And if someone, even a friend or family member, catches on to that's what you're doing, you have to change your plans.
This is why Chitika is just following. Sure.
It's possible that you actually get there faster. None of you is certain how that happened. You're pulling out the rolled up map that has the dotted lines of the path that you should have taken and the path that you took. And there's a tall guy there with a chest that's three times his width saying, by all accounts, it doesn't make sense. Cusco's the best, is he, princess? Anyway, the Church of Darkness, by tradition, does not have a grand entryway that is viewable to the public. All the adherents to the Church of Darkness, whether they are members of the church clergy or the population at large, know where the entrance is. But it doesn't look like it should be the entrance to the Church of a Living God. Chitika, how do you enter the church?
Well, the question is if there's only one entrance, which I feel like there isn't. Huh?
Nine hells, no.
Exactly. There's the major entrance or entrances. There's probably a few actually like towers that have been built up so that you can have the bats and the owl can fly in and walk down, you know, spiral staircases and such. There's plenty of air vents. There's plenty of air vents that are big enough for Ratkin. And if you think about it, there's probably a few air vents that it might be a tight fit for Tam and Lucy, but they could probably do it. And it's probably one of those because if I were staking, you know, if we were staking out the church to make sure that no gods came wailing back to it, you know, to try and grab up a poor little ratkin and stuff them in a bag and murder them, then they probably, if they were strangers to the area, be staking out the front door.
Okay.
The main slightly twisty crypt-like opening that you walk in and the light fades to soft luminescent glows that make sure you don't bump into a wall if you're paying attention anyway. There's probably somebody hiding there. It's a little twisty. We don't want to do that.
Okay. And I'm assuming Lucy is still wearing the earmuffs, or the ear protection rather.
Yeah.
So you've gone back into the station area to do this, but no more GM intrusions so long as those stay on. You can still tell that the baby kobolds are making contented laser beam sounds because you can feel the sound in your chest.
Yep.
Oh, that works.
It almost lulls you to sleep. Fortunately, you're walking. It's like having a cat lay on you and start purring. Like, this is my life now.
That's funny. That's funny.
It's probably you go down a somewhat disused side ramp on the station line that, you know, they stick carts that are needing repairs or whatnot, and you pop through a little hole in a wall and you remove a few other little things, and oh look, there's the air grate, and well.
Yeah.
Okay. Mafa, I'm going to ask you to make me a difficulty 4 roll for noticing and searching. And Tam, I'm going to ask you to make a difficulty 4 roll for seeing through deception.
Going to spend a luck point to bring that up to a 9.
Okay. It would take me a good 30 seconds to resize my window for me to be able to read the chat. Not the chat, the roll results with these progressive lenses and the monitor at that distance.
Oh, no. So,
I understand.
Yeah.
I rolled an 8. My training reduced the difficulty to 3, which means I needed a 9. So I spent a luck point to bring it up to a 9.
Awesome. And I think Tam rolled also. And I see 2 digits there. And it's either
a 13.
Tam had a 13.
Had to beat a 6 and rolled a 13.
My assumption was 2 different numbers, and neither of them was 13. I need to adjust the setup before next week.
Trained in the skill reduces the difficulty by 1. Tam spent a level of effort.
Awesome. You are both, Mafa, you're being followed. You know you're being followed because the dead have started to notice that you're here. And it's not like you're just, like, you don't have a posse. I mean, you kind of do. It's your fellow gods. But you're not being followed en masse by every dead person you're going past. However, in whatever things they're doing, they're starting to move more in your direction. Like a low-power magnet, you are somewhat drawing them towards you.
Okay.
Tam, you are certain that you're being followed. You're not thinking of anything supernatural, in spite of who you keep company with. But you have the sense of many eyes keeping not their eyes on you, but of other people you're with. That's a 20. I can see that from here. I can't see why you made the roll, but I can see that was a 20.
Yes, Tam's immediate response to this was to attempt to become the one who is following the party in case anyone else decides to pull something.
Okay.
Speaking.
So Tam walks behind a support pole for one of those shops where it has a canvas roof, and the pole is maybe about an inch in diameter, and immediately disappears. Not through any supernatural means.
Oh, hey, it's Vex.
Yeah. You bump into another kobold that seems to be wearing a fedora. Neither of you notices the other one. All right. So you've reached the entrance that you're choosing to take. And at this point, Chitika knows the ins and outs of the temple. So you can easily get in the way you want to get in.
We're probably going to wind up in like a storeroom or something, some servant's quarters area.
Oh, there are servant quarters, but the path that you're taking is a path that is known because they were all built for people to get in and out. And they don't tend to have a servant's quarters be part of the path. That would be bad for the people trying to get through the servant's quarters as well as for the servants.
Yeah. Well,
no one would like that.
Nope.
You see, we did it as a form of hazing ritual for the servants. Okay, but we need to leave now, and their bedrolls are in the way.
Oops.
We need to rethink our plan. Yeah! Okay. Well, you get in, and there is a larger area here. There is the chugging sound of a sump pump that's taking up a good quarter of the room. With pipes.
Oh, no, we wanted the Temple of Darkness, not the Frat of Darkness.
I don't know if my heavy sigh came through, but there was one. But there is a pump with some pipes going further down through the floor, that the thing about having an entire temple built below the water line, the water table, rather,
gets damp if you're not careful.
Yeah. And if you just run dehumidifiers, it makes it very, very warm. So they do have a pump. More than one, actually. Yeah. This is one of them. And this particular room happens to have a young Batkin who happens to be busy sweeping all the dust from one part of the room to another as the whole group of you walks in.
Move aside the grate that is supposed to keep people out. Come in. Yep.
This is the foyer of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
The young Batkin sees you, lets out a squeak that Discord does not pick up because bat. I heard all that. And then in a way that does not befit someone of their station or yours, leaps forward and gives you a giant hug. Oh my gosh, I was so worried. I lost sight of you at the procession and I couldn't find you again. And then there was fire. And there was so much fire. And I ran and I flew for a little bit, but then it was bright and I had to hide. And oh my gosh, I thought you were dead.
I was worried. Everything was bad. There were people hiding in the other buildings and they had fire and they had weapons and shooting.
Okay, so this is Ezekiel. I know you said the name, but I heard just enough to know you said the name.
It was Zeke, and I was worried too, etc.
Yeah. So
Shadika used the short form.
Other members of the party, imagine this conversation where both sides are happening simultaneously. They are not waiting for the other person to speak first.
And also, they are extremely high-pitched.
Yes.
Discord will not pick this up. Curse it. Chitika is apologizing for having lost the pretty dress that she used it as a decoy, and
they got away. The dress could be replaced. That's fine. You're alive. I might get off punishment now.
Why would you be punished?
I lost sight of you.
You were part of the people shooting?
I lost sight of you and you died. Well, actually, you didn't die. You're okay now. But we thought you died. And there's like people out looking for the new God of Darkness. And they haven't found you yet because you're still here. Well, you weren't. That's why we're looking for you.
Anyway, because someone's done something.
I love that canonically I have a reason to be talking over people now. So when I do it by accident, it's canon.
Someone's done something so they wouldn't be finding me even if I had died.
What? I mean, That's great. You can stay hidden, right?
No. No, they'd come and it would be a problem, okay? A big problem.
I'm getting into the energy of this character, and I lament that you cannot be seeing my facial expressions as I'm playing this character. Where I... That's right, you can hide, right? And there's a huge smile on my face. And you say, no, and my smile went 180 degrees.
No, oh, well. I can't hide. I have to talk to Hoomverly.
Hoomverly, right. We can find Hoomverly. They're probably in their office right now going over reports from the people who haven't found your replacement yet because you don't need to be replaced. This is great. Unless it's not, it's terrible. But no, it's good. Except for all the parts that are bad. And, maybe
there's a lot of bad,
but maybe I won't have to keep sweeping everywhere, and they may still make me sweep everywhere because I did lose sight of you. In my defense, there was a traveling salesman who was very persuasive, and I may have bought a lot of olive oil.
Oh, you hit him too. Excellent.
What?
That's how we got away.
You are going to have to tell me the rest of the story when I muffle punishment. So let's go find Hoomverly.
Oh, come on. Also, if you're going to move the dust, don't you have to get a dustpan?
I have to work my way up to dustpan privileges.
Oh, that's just silly. Come on.
They're blaming me for the death of the god of we worship.
But it's not your fault. I was at the...
Today's the first day they gave me a broom to do this.
It's not your fault. They did an attack during the opening ceremony. They attacked during when everyone was eating.
I was still looking for you then.
Well, I'm glad you weren't there because you might have gotten shot and that would be terrible.
You're saying this as you're walking down hallways.
Oh, totally, yes.
Yeah. Every now and then, another attendant walks by, then looks at you, and then stops and looks at you again, and then runs off.
Wave.
Sometimes they drop what they're carrying. Sometimes they stop to pick it back up again.
It's entirely possible that if they turn to walk off, Chichika is actually going to say, "No, wait! Where are you going?"
But gotta tell you're...
No, you don't gotta tell everyone yet. You should come and be part of the entourage until we get to Hoomverly. Because there are people who need to know not that I'm back yet. They need to not know.
Chichika.
There are...
The gods of the Windbreak are primarily... They have handlers because they are handled.
Uh-huh.
And you are giving orders.
Heck yeah.
You are going to need to make a roll for this.
I have fast talk. I have encouragement.
Encouragement is not going to work.
I have persuasion.
Fast talk might.
I have the ability of fast talk and the skill of persuasion.
Those two powers combined will allow you to attempt a roll difficulty 4. You are not rolling against the person who you're trying to convince. You're rolling against their boss. Conflicting orders.
I'm going to drop in an effort, and I'm rolling on the skill for the persuasion. And what is the difficulty I need to beat?
It was difficulty 4.
And beat 3. Can I do a reroll?
You did level of effort, right?
That should be factored into it.
What was the number that you rolled? I cannot read it from here.
I rolled a 9. That beats difficulty 3. So if I put effort into it, that put it down
that
to...
That would bring the 4 down to a 3, so you hit your target number.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's without worrying about the skills. So, yes, you managed it. Phew. So, yes, you do start to develop an entourage. Mafa, entering the temple has not stopped the dead from approaching. Oddly enough, some ghosts can go through walls. Sometimes they don't notice they're doing it. In this case, they likely went through the closed door, as opposed to walking straight through a wall. Tam, once you entered the temple, that feeling subsided, which is weird considering that now you know you have a bunch of people following. Those aren't the ones who were following you outside. If they followed you in, they did so at a distance where they haven't caught up to you yet.
Well,
the Church of Darkness is a church that lives up to its name. If there are light sources, they are carried around by the individuals who need to not trip over their own feet. They are kept dim intentionally, not just because it saves on lighting bills. And any room that doesn't have a person in it is black as night. Blacker, because there's no stars here.
It's very soothing and you can hide there.
Exactly. Eventually, you do get to the door that you were looking for, the door to Hoomverly's office. Hoomverly is not the leader of the Church of Darkness. There's no one leader. But Hoomverly is an individual whom people usually come to for advice. The door is closed.
Drat, I can't knock on things and make it come through Discord.
I might be able to do that, but the wood that I could knock on is on the same side of me as the hand that has carpal tunnel.
Let's not!
Oh. I will pass.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I saw a doctor a couple weeks ago. I go again next week to see if things have improved. They haven't.
Aww.
Yeah. So it is what it is. But that's neither here nor there. You're here. And you are, in fact, able to knock on the door. And then you hear the sound of several books falling hard to the ground.
Die.
What? What? Who's there?
Me?
What? There's the sound of more things hitting the floor. Possibly a table falling over.
Open the door. I gotta talk to you. And you all need to stay and protect the privacy of the God of Darkness.
There was definitely the sound of a teacup shattering when the table fell over.
Oh, well. Chichika wants everyone to stay and protect her privacy.
The door opens, and the first thing that anyone notices are two very large eyes. You might think, at first, that it's because that they are wearing some large spectacles. Nope. They're not. They just have Very large eyes. This is an Alkin. They are human-sized Alkin. Little bit on the scrawny side, so far as owls might be concerned, where a bird might fluff up its feathers. This Alkin has done no such fluffing. And they look down at you. They look up and look at the entire entourage and everyone here. Now, we've already discussed before how animal kin in this universe can take on different attributes of the animal that they're distantly related to. In this case, their eyes are definitely large enough that there are no muscles in the eye sockets to move the eyes around. They have to move their whole head. It gives them a more animated look. They're definitely excited. And the head motions make it more so. What? Oh, well.
Hello, I'm back.
You're back. You're alive.
Uh-huh.
Well.
No thanks to the people who want me dead.
We will need to talk about this. Come in.
Everyone who's waiting here needs to stay and protect the privacy. Because I don't know if there are people who might be in the pay, accidentally or not, of the people who want me dead.
Understood. Well, may your companions who are fellow deities come in.
Oh, they can all come in. They're my friends. I'm talking about the entourage.
You are going to need to help me discern the difference between entourage and friends.
Well, if you don't know them, then they're one of my friends. And if you do know them, they're part of the entourage.
Chatham starts whacking people with her large walking stick to encourage the party members to enter. And the...
Chatham is definitely entering.
And the church attendants to step back.
Not this due way. To fear of sticks so much as they probably tried to go in the moment there was enough space.
Zip! Mm-hmm. Don't suppose you have a ritual space that I could use? Otherwise, it's going to get awfully crowded in there.
Oh, no. Are there a lot of dead people?
Yeah, I seem to have a following. I need to do some work.
Well, this is my office, but, you know, there are occasionally rituals. So somewhere over in this area, and at that point, the door is closed and you are in pitch blackness. This area over here, and you hear his voice move as he steps over and trips over some books that might not have been on the floor before the table fell over. And
It's okay. You can light a candle, you know.
This is the Church of Darkness. Why would I bring that blasphemy in my office?
Because it is better to light a candle than to step on the God of Darkness's tail.
Well, I am certain that the God of Death and the God of Millet and the God of Trickery will do just fine if I follow the tenets of my God.
And your God says to light a candle because she doesn't want her tail stepped on.
I'm
disappointed that you recognized me.
I didn't in the light.
Well, that makes sense.
I imagine you've been hiding for quite some time.
We've all been hiding because people want to kill us. And do you know about it? What do you know about it?
I know that 2 days ago, half of the ones we sent to the convocation came back, letting us know that you were likely dead.
Half is better than I had been afraid of. I'm glad that many people got away. It was very scary.
Mafa, what did you roll?
I rolled a 2.
What?
Ritual surrounding death.
That's the text that's smaller. Okay. The GM will remember this. I am very glad that you have come back to us.
Me too. So what do you know about the plot? Do you know about the plot yet?
I've told you everything that I know. Insights are insights, and they come to me in the darkness.
Good.
But I usually need a little help.
Well, we traveled, obviously. And there's some people in the Church of Unity who want to pull a divine coup on everybody by making it so that the gods aren't incarnating again when we die. They're going to make it all build up
and then they're going to put all the gods into one body.
What?
And they think they're going to make a super unified god, and I'm not sure. I think they're going to make an explosion.
No. It wouldn't be an explosion. Well, not a literal explosion.
Are you sure?
Well, a body can handle more than one soul in it. It's happened before. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes by accident. But more than one god, that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It would need to be a very special child.
Uh-huh.
But it would not be an explosion that would damage the physical world.
It doesn't feel like a good idea, because if it was a good idea, it would have happened naturally, probably.
I think your friend with the horns over there would take issue with it. And as I say that, now I'm aware that actually we should all be taking issue with it, because there's a lot of bad things in what you just said. Sorry, I hyperfixated on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
one of the right things. There's many right things here, and a few wrong things. Excuse us. This is a private conversation. Several ghosts that have just walked in that you, Mafa sees, in spite of everything, look embarrassed and turn and walk back out again.
This is clearly why this particular fellow is, in fact, one of the more respected. He is in tune with darkness.
Does not tend to visit a lot of the whole council meetings. But in his office, in the darkness, he picks up on things that one should not be able to pick up on, so long as there's a shred of a starting point.
Useful.
Very useful. And yes, just like one needs darkness to be able to notice the light more, and one needs a light to see where the darkness lies, Humverly prefers the darkness.
Just so long as nobody steps on Shatika's tail.
You always bring this up when you visit.
It's only happened once.
It's only happened four or five times this year.
Uh-huh.
And he apologizes profusely each time. His waves of insight don't connect with object permanency and their locations.
Mm-hmm.
And in his defense, you move around.
I mean, I pace around when I think sometimes. That's just how it works. And it's not my fault. Someone once said I had to pace myself.
I didn't mean it like that. Anyway, we've had this conversation before. But we're revisiting the old tropes. They're like comfort food.
Uh-huh. It has been a very concerning time. And also, I'm really concerned that there are probably people from the splinter sect of Unity who are waiting to catch me. I have been put into a sack. I have been accused of maybe being a god of ducks. And I have had people try to kill me. And it's been a very stressful time.
I like that being called the god of ducks deserved mention before the people trying to kill you.
And we're sort of working backwards here, or something.
It was between getting put in a sack and people trying to kill you. So either way, if you're putting them in ranked order, it's in the mid-range.
Well,
I'm okay with this. It's funny to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm
just worried that we might be infiltrated or being watched.
Oh.
We were being followed out there, and not just by dead people.
Yeah. You can tell them to stay behind, but they never do.
The dead people? The kids. Oh, that's
also
true.
The dead people.
I'm concerned about half of this conversation, and I don't know which half. Well, at least you're here to help.
Lighter's great.
I'm sure they are. After all, this much holy power in one place, you should be able to move mountains. Please don't try to move mountains. The mountains are all on different gears. You'd have to travel too far.
None of us are really that kind of god.
I am not the god of mountains.
It's a metaphor.
Well, then you asked us not to do it.
Huh?
Okay, fair point.
I solemnly promise not to steal a mountain and put it in your office.
Solemnly promise not to use metaphors.
What about similes? Those are like metaphors. That's one of my favorite jokes about the English language, by the way.
The simile is like a metaphor?
Yes. That's how I remember the difference.
Yep.
Well, we're being watched all the time. Constantly, in fact. Fortunately, few are better at seeing in the dark than us.
so most of what we do doesn't get out.
Uh-huh.
Humverly says this while surrounded by scattered books, an overturned table, and the shards of a teacup, and somewhere in here is the puddle of a half-drunk cup of tea.
Just so long as he doesn't slip and fall in it later.
It's on the other side of the table from where he's standing, probably.
So far.
There has been the sound of him moving around. It's quite possible he's been searching for his chair this entire time without trying to say that he's searching for his chair. He's occasionally bumped his foot up against a book, then went to grab a chair that, nope, that was a book.
Whoops.
So what's your plan?
Anyway, well, for one, I'm a little bit concerned that people in the churches have started thinking that it's churches getting power over other churches. I think that's a bad idea.
I agree. And there's no church that would stand for it.
Yeah.
You've never attended the meetings.
I should. I should be attending meetings. I'm not a baby anymore.
No, no, you're not. Except for the few of you over there who sound like you're... Actually, I'd be breaking the fourth wall. I don't know what a blaster rifle is. But other than those three, none of you are children. There right. It is. You hear the sound of a chair being moved upright. And then the sound of an Alkin not managing to sit in the chair and his sack falling out of it. There is a muffled criff.
Cam feels like they should be doing something, but the situation that is proceeding is pretty much like the situation they would attempt to provoke.
They could just stand here and it's going to progress the way that they would want it to.
If luck was here, you could give them a spiritual high five. Alas, you wouldn't know they were here.
Mafa would.
There is a heavy sigh, and Humverly decides to stay sitting on the floor. You know this because you don't hear them struggling to get up.
The Holy Convocation is a once-in-a-decade event where, while you go through your rituals and ceremonies and events to keep you busy and occupied, we hash over a very large amount of treaties that keep all of the various churches doing the things they do in their area of influence and not stepping on anyone else's toes lest someone think that another church is vying for too much power. It's what we've been doing for centuries.
I guess someone got bored of the meetings.
Everyone's bored of the meetings. Their meetings. Their bureaucracy. And no decent
person likes bureaucracy. So they decided to hire a whole bunch of mercenaries and kill us all so that they could have a super baby. Immediately.
I know this is a pressing situation, but we need to find a better term than super baby the next time we bring this up. I'm imagining a child swaddled in blue and red flying through the air.
Well, wouldn't a god baby do that? Because you'd have the god of colors, and you'd have the god of flying, and you'd have the god of, I don't know, lifting tall buildings?
Well, then they'd block out more light, at least.
One would hope.
I am very glad that I want to stop looking at this thing that Ellie has shared, because it is relevant. But I want to look up more context. I'm trying not to hyper-focus on this. No, it's good. But this is a me issue.
I'm very glad you've come back to us. But with all of this going on, I would like to know, why did you come here?
Well, I want to make sure that my family wouldn't think I was dead. Because then they'd all be sad.
We would be. And we'd bop some heads.
Uh-huh. Because you all promised to take care of me when my family let me go to you. So, and also I wanted to see if there was some kind of I don't know, people here who had agreements with the faction of the Unity Church that's plotting all this, because, I don't know, they figured they'd get a better church thing or something, more money. So I'm a little bit concerned about that, and I think that people might want to be concerned about it here, too.
There's nothing the Church of Unity could offer us that we'd want that we don't already have in abundance.
Are you sure?
We want darkness. We want a safe place to hide.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure that there wouldn't be people who would think that an All Gods church wouldn't give them the same thing, except maybe with more power.
If we're all together, who are we hiding from?
Ourselves?
That's the last person we should hide from.
And yet...
Tim shrugs, even though Humphrey definitely can't see it.
Also, I wanted to tell people because we might wind up having to need, I don't know, secret ways in and out of places to break up the ritual that's stopping gods from incarnating.
I know all kinds of secret ins and outs, but I'm not a member of the Church of Unity. I wouldn't be able to help you there. You'd need to enlist some local help for that.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, I think you know a person.
I know a lot of people now.
You do.
And a little bit of a budget might be helpful, too, come to think of it.
Well, I imagine a different friend over there with horns has helped a lot with that.
Uh-huh. But it's not right to rely on somebody who has to... It's not right to force them to have to do the things when we could help. Because
yeah,
we should
mind.
Yeah, but it's still not right. And also, if you had bad luck or something, then we wouldn't have the budget. And that would be sad.
Is there anyone here who feels like they're being forced to help?
Here? No. But I might need to bribe somebody.
Oh, you might. Or scare them. Or convince them.
Uh-huh.
Or avoid them.
Or bite them in the kneecaps.
Well, I advise against that. You won't always know where they've been.
I'll brush my teeth afterwards.
Well, I can't give you concrete plans for getting in and out of where you want to go.
No.
I can give you insight to rituals.
That would be good, because we need to disrupt it.
You've done a few in your position. I imagine all of you have. Save one. The rituals are magic tricks. They're charlatan work. They don't do anything. I really shouldn't be telling you this. Pretend I haven't.
That makes sense.
Now, you might be thinking, but they've worked. I've done a thing. I did this ritual, and I got the result I wanted.
That's because we thought we were going to get the result, so the result happened. Because we're gods.
Ah, you gain insight in your seat of power. Yes, the power comes from you, from what's inside of you, that essence that's a part of you.
Uh-huh.
Not from going through the motions, but the motions help. They're a focal point.
Huh?
You change the motions, you're still focusing on them, it still works. For the rest of us, it's a bit different. There needs to be a formalized structure, and changing the structure means it won't work. Even if everyone's certain it will. It's not just the focus. There will almost certainly be a circle. Occasionally I've seen a hexagram. Those are rare. And usually for doing things that involve honeycomb. So it won't be in effect here.
There won't be a circle after we get done with it, huh?
If you can disrupt it, that would be good. If they've really committed, it won't be a circle that's a line of salt or chalk mark on the ground. It would be something carved in to stonework, possibly quite deep. Disrupting that would be a little more difficult. Possible, depending on what materials you have and how big an explosion you want to do. There's also the people who maintain it. They'll need more than one. They'll likely be working in shifts. They'll likely have some redundancy, so distracting one of them won't be enough. How many? I don't know. I'm not part of the ritual. I'm speaking in generalizations here and using what insight I have in the darkness. So, you go after the people who are doing the chanting or waving about with their hands, or the physical design of the structure. There may or may not be runes. Sometimes a circle is enough. Sometimes it isn't. It depends on what else is going on. Sometimes there'll be other elements involved. Water, fire, air. Well, air is hard to disrupt, but fire can be snuffed out. Water can be evaporated or poured away.
Earth can be kicked around.
Unless it's stone. Then I don't recommend kicking it.
I'll figure something out. We'll figure something out.
You'll have to. Fortunately, you're not doing this alone.
Right.
And with the power of five gods, you might just pull it off.
One.
Chachika is counting. counting several times. Jatika is counting up to four.
Lyder or one of their kids?
What? No. The copper teeth aren't from the Windbreak. We're from Taphos.
Well, I imagine some of them are, but how old are you? 10? Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that you weren't hatched here, Lyder?
Oh, I mean, I was born on the farm, yeah, but...
And the god of altruism died 10 years ago. They've been missing ever since.
Glop. Hug from the darkness.
Funny. What was that, Ellie?
That's pretty funny.
I think it's rather amusing, too. I imagine the Church of Altruism would have a very different opinion if we asked
them. Yeah, they'd be less amused.
Well, they should be better at finding their god, then.
Yeah.
In their defense...
They look pretty unhappy at the convocation.
In their defense, I spend most of my time hiding.
Yeah, but if they'd been offering more support to people like kobolds who needed it, maybe they would have found you.
I mean, all of us, the Copper Teeth, we tend to keep a low profile. I mean, I said we live on a farm in the wintertime, but I didn't even tell all of you where it is. And, you know, usually I'm pretty good at not getting caught until you caught me.
You took the cheese ball that I was eating. Of course I caught you.
The cheese ball that was about 75% bacon by weight.
Yes.
And it was immediately scarfed down by the vehicle.
And also about 75% of Chitika's weight, too.
This is true. Yes, well, of course, Chitika was the one who found you. You were hiding.
I don't get it.
Darkness is for hiding. It is the soft and welcoming darkness that hides you so that the terrible things don't find you. But if there's darkness and hiding, then there's me, right?
I guess. And we're going to take a short break because groceries.
Okay, be right back.
We are back. Insert punchline joke here. Because I can't bother to think of a routine for that right now. So, Mafa has used scan on Lyder with an emphasis on the magical aspects. And then rolled a 7. Everything in this room screams divine power. It is saturated in it. You wonder if you would get the same results if you scanned the baby kobolds. Because they're currently still nestled into Downy Fluff of the God of Millet. There's a movie that I don't remember the name of where at one point they say, no wonder we couldn't find the mountain. We've been on it the whole time. It's hard to discern Lyder from the background radiation when you have so many gods at one spot.
That's fair.
But knowing in advance that Lyder might be more than just a kobold,
you could kind of see it.
Maybe if you got Lyder into a different environment and you had all other gods like take several steps back, you would notice more to discern between Lyder and everyone else. But this is what you're getting with a 7.
That's about the most that I hope for.
Okay. However, it kind of makes sense. Lyder has done their best to be helpful everywhere you have gone.
Aww.
When running and hiding was a better option than helping, Lyder helped. And when
Lyder
you
got
all
stuck
felt
with three babies.
And the old kobold at the farm who knew things they shouldn't always know said that Lyder would be really good at that job. When you all left the windbreak and felt weaker, Lyder fell asleep.
Oh.
Yes, I've been planning this the whole time.
I was suspicious.
And
thought the Lyder was just exhausted.
Ellie, I will tell you right now, B and C are not the Gauld of Multiplicity. They split up and ran for cover.
Like sensible little kobolds.
No. The God of Multiplicity was not kobolds. They were armadillokin.
That makes sense.
Armadillokin, who are always born as quintuplets.
Of course.
No, quadruplets. They're born in groups of four. Well, you have quite the adventure ahead of you, God of Darkness and Hiding.
Mm-hmm.
You're all welcome to spend the night. You'll be safe here. I'll make certain of it. You're also
the cargo?
Free to...
How long is the cargo going to be safe, Mafa? Tam?
Oh, they'll keep it until we call for it.
Okay.
You're free to also peruse any of the books in my library, provided you can read Braille.
Jachika probably had lessons in that, honestly.
Almost certainly. It's most of the books in the Church of Darkness are, in fact, either written in Braille or transcribed to it, because dim light is not good for reading.
No, it is not.
But you can be certain no other churches are going to be in league with Unity.
I don't worry about other churches. I worry about people within the churches. Because even Unity isn't likely to be in league with Unity on this topic.
No, I imagine there's disagreement there too. But those who would go against darkness, I would notice.
Okay, good.
Unless someone brings a blessed candle in here.
What about a cursed candle?
Those two. Tam, put the candle away.
I think any candle in here would be a cursed candle.
Okay, no candles, even if you did step on my tail a few times.
I haven't done it today.
Yet.
Your tail is immediately stepped on 3 times.
Hey, that was on purpose.
It wasn't me. It was indeed too light to be a full-grown owlkin.
Nevertheless.
The baby kobolds are awake.
They're awake. No, they're awake. They've escaped their cage.
Yes, sorry. Yes, the baby kobolds are free. Changing baby Un's name to Tiger. And on that note, where you are now wrangling baby kobolds in the darkness, because no, even in this case, Hoomvrly does not let you create a light source. So it's going to be mostly Mafa helping with this. That's where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for playing. Tonight I was joined by a bunch of amazing people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, Jen, and Crash, who showed up eventually against his will.
Ellie.
And that's Ellie.
And you're a delight.
Yes, uh-huh. She is. Would anyone like to plug a thing?
Io's mom writes books, and you can check out the titles and pick where you're getting them from at elizabethmccoy.com. And you can...
No wonder Chitika talked in third person. Beth is already experienced in doing that.
Right, so.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's fine. That's speaking of things in third person.
Well, we take all these stories, all these podcasts, and put them over on aaronbsmith.com. Go there to get them. If wherever you are getting them from is putting ads in them, then go to aaronbsmith.com instead. You'll get smaller file sizes with no ads. You can support us instead of doing stuff with ads, because those don't go to us anyway, by going to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming and helping us keep the lights on there. Once upon a time, in a long, long time ago, we broke even. Haven't for years, but once we did. Some costs go up and something like that. Never mind. You can support us along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv, Paul, Shan Shan, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. Until next time.
Speaking of websites, Jen has a website.
Oh. Right!
Jen, yes!
At bookofjen.net.
Indeed. And until next time, this is Crash saying, no, don't still let... Why do I even have a vile living in here? Good night, everybody.
Night.